did you want to come out of this evening?
And most of all, ask yourself, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Happy.
Right.
Okay, well, you've already succeeded. thinking that you're right and being unhappy. So if you want to continue with that path, that's what free will is all about. So you can just keep on wanting to be right more than you want to be happy. It's okay. It's okay. Take a breath. You're not what you think you are. You don't have to believe these ideas. You don't have to accept these ideas. You don't have to welcome these ideas. Some of these ideas you may actively resist. Some of these ideas you may find hard to believe and startling. I'm not asking you to judge the ideas. If you use the ideas, you will see that the ideas are true. If you use the ideas, they will prove to you that they are true. You are sustained by that which created you, which is greater than you. And the extent to which you're full of worry and concern and fear, it's the extent to which you're just dependent on yourself without depending on the power that created you. You did not create yourself. I did not create myself. There's a possibility that we don't know everything. There's a possibility that what you know may not be all there is to know. And one of the easiest ways to get in touch with that is to get in touch with how much inner peace do you have. And if you don't have a lot of peace, a lot of sense of fulfillment and centeredness, then you can safely assume that your line of thinking is not based on the truth. And so whatever you're telling yourself, you need to chunk that and start moving in another direction, because your thinking processes are not serving you. What you believe is not serving you. If you're full of worry, concern, anxiety, despair, upset, broken into by periods in which they seem to be gone, then you need to ask for another way to look at things. You should say to yourself, at least I can decide I don't like the way I feel right now, so I hope I'm wrong. I want another way to look at this. Whatever the situation is, you want to tell yourself, I want another way to look at this. Perhaps there's another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking for another way to look at this? And then silently ask. Say, I want another way to look at this. And you know what this is. Everyone has their this. And you have your this that needs to be looked at a different way. You're completely loved, and you're completely loved, Bobo. And you're completely adored, and you are more than you think you are. You are free, you are unlimited, and you are innocent. You're so powerful that you create your experience through your conscious thoughts and feelings and emotions and your unconscious thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Your beliefs determine the world that you see and the world that you experience. And so therefore, there's nothing in your life that cannot be changed for the better, because there's nothing happening in your experience that is not at some level sourced by you, created by you. Not the you that's sitting in the chair that's wondering what the heck is going on, but the other you, the you that's connected to God, the you that is connected to the all-powerful creation of love that created us. And so we're coming together tonight so that we can hear other ways of looking at things. We're coming together tonight so that we can open our minds to different ways of perceiving and interpreting. So there may be some things that's not the way you think that they are, things that are said that are different from what you believe, and that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. It's okay. You're innocent.
Okay.
How do you
get okay? That's
Thank you. And anybody else that wants to do that at any point in time in my life, you have access. Okay, just want to let everybody know there's equal opportunity hoods around here. It doesn't matter what sex you are, doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter how old you are. Okay, I want to ask you about focusing. It's like I'm competing. Let's focus in. I'm going to do a lesson 79, page 141. And I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to go through it. The name of this lesson is Let Me Recognize the Problem So It Can Be Solved. I'm going to read through it first, and then I'm going to come back and we'll discuss it, and we'll get what the message is the Spirit is trying to give us out of it. It should take about 5 or 10 minutes to read it. You can also use it as a meditation if your mind should drift off. And I want you to apply this to whatever it is that you think is going on in your experience right now. I'd like you to think of something that's going on in your life right now that you're not necessarily giving yourself. We got a couple of chairs right up here. I'd like you to think about something that's going on in your life right now that you are seeing as a problem, that you're seeing as something that you wish was different or that you want or need to see different. There's some chairs in that right there in that little closet. And so I want to stop a minute and allow you to honestly come up with something that you know you need to see differently. A person or a situation that you know before you came here, you were thinking about it today, or you were wondering about how you could solve that. Does everybody have one? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you're going to use that situation or situations as the subject of this lesson tonight, so that we're going to practically apply this lesson to that. So it's a trick of your ego if you sit up here and you pretend you don't have a problem, and it's a trick of your ego if you don't apply it to the problem that you think you have. That will let you know that for whatever reason you feel like the problem is protecting you. A problem that you believe is protecting you is a problem that you will not do anything to re-perceive. It's something that, it's your pattern, it's your story, but you find that you don't really do anything to change it other than just talk about it. And if a solution is presented, you will find that you don't cooperate, you don't do it, and you don't apply it. So if that's true about you, then when you leave tonight, you should be empowered by the idea that you are receiving exactly what you want. That there's nobody's mistreating you, nobody's doing you wrong in any way. At some level, this particular issue is an issue that you think you need at some subconscious level. It's so important that you don't want to let it go yet. Okay? So let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. A problem can't be solved if you don't know what it is. A problem can't be solved if you don't know what it is. So if the problem isn't solved, you don't know what it is. So whatever you think the problem is, you should say, I don't know what this problem is. Okay. Even if the problem is really solved already, you're going to still have the problem. Even if it's already been solved, you're going to still have the problem because you won't recognize that it's been solved if you don't recognize what the problem is. And he says, that's the situation of the world. He said, the Course says, the problem of separation, which is really the only problem, is that we think we're separate, we think we're different, and we think we're divided. And I was thinking about that when I was listening to Obama's speech on race. And talking about it's time to go beyond the division, it's time for us to work together, regardless of what's happened in the past. It's time for us to move toward unity and oneness, and we want to go in the first. And that's what the Course is saying. The problem is separation. The problem is separation. The problem is separation. The problem is separation. We think we're separate. We think we're different. we think we are apart. The problem is, I think there's a me and there's a you, and that I need to look out for me to the expense of you, because we are separate, you know. You're separate. The only problem is I believe that I am separate from God. The problem is I think I'm separate from my source. Because if I was connected to the source, how could I have a problem? So the problem is separation. Okay. Then it says, well, that's the only problem, and separation has already been solved. But he said it. You wouldn't recognize it's been solved because we just not recognizing the problem is separation. And they say at the very beginning, if you don't recognize what the problem is, you also won't recognize that the problem has been solved. So since I don't recognize the problem has been solved, I still don't recognize that the problem is separation. I still think the problem is my boss, my upbringing, my race, my financial situation, the relationships I have, the time I live in. I still think the problem is something else other than separation, so therefore I don't see that it has been solved. So, the solution isn't recognized because the problem isn't recognized. So, Earl, in your particular area that you said to yourself, remember that you don't see the solution right now because you don't really recognize what the problem is right now. So if you could even bring it down to the level, you could say if there's a problem in a relationship, you could say to yourself, I don't know what the problem is in this relationship. The reason why I don't know what the problem is in this relationship, because I don't recognize the solution. So if I don't recognize the solution, I don't really know what the problem is. Everyone in this world seems to have their own special problems. Don't you have your story? I got my story, okay. And my story is longer than Gone with the Wind. My story, this has been a movie that I've been in for a long time. I've eaten so much popcorn I can't hardly stand it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, everybody in the world seems to have their own special problems, yet these problems are all the same. And all the problems must be recognized as one if the one solution that solves them all is to be accepted. Okay, so if I want to accept the solution to this problem, I must recognize that all of you all got the same problem I got, and I got the same problem you got. You don't have a special problem. I don't have a special problem. We all got the same problem. We crazy as hell. We think we're separate. We think we're on our own. We think we got to make it on our own. We think our happiness is outside of ourselves. It's like the problem is the same. I think I'm separate. We all got the same problem. Now remember, you don't have to believe this. You don't have to accept this. You don't have to welcome this, because if you believe you do, that's what brings up the most resistance. This is just about hearing the ideas of the Course in Miracles. This is not about you agreeing with me. This is not about you understanding me or me understanding you. This is just about, this is a Course class, this is a Course in Miracles, I'm sharing it with you. Okay, that's it. That's as deep as I'm trying to get, okay? All right. Whether or not a person accepts this would make it harder to accept it. But we say we have a problem. We want the problem solved. So the first thing we need to do is we want our individual problem solved is to take what it's saying right now and entertain the idea that we all think we have our own special problem, but we all got the same problem. As soon as we recognize we all got the same problem, we think we're separate, then we can get the solution that will solve all of our problems. And I want to have all things that I consider to be problems solved. So even if nobody else in this room wants to agree that all our problems are the same, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to believe all our problems are the same. Then it says, who can see that a problem has been solved if they think the problem is something else? That means if you think the problem is something else, even if you're given the answer, you still can't see the relevance of the answer. If you think your problem is something other than what we just heard, then it seems like what I just said is irrelevant to your problem. If you think you got a money problem and you can't pay your utilities, and I say to you, the real answer is that you think you're separate from source and separate from one and separate from spirit and separate from each other, that you have an idea of separation, you won't see the relevance that that has to them getting ready to cut off your utilities. See, if you think the problem is something else, even if you get the answer, it won't be relevant. Because you've decided the problem is something else. So in order to open yourself up to the solution, to the situation that you're going through right now, you have to, or you are being invited to entertain the idea that what you think the problem is not what the problem is. The first step to getting a solution to your problem is to realize it might not be what you think it is. If they would just change, I would be happy. Okay. He says, that's the position you find yourself now. You have the answer, but you're still uncertain about what the problem is. A long series of different problems seems to confront you. And as one problem is settled, the next problem comes up, and then the next problem. I don't know about you, it's been a parade. As soon as I get that problem solved, then another one comes up, and I try to get that solved, then another one comes up. I get my financial thing working, and then my job, I get laid off of work, try to get my job right, then my mate coating on me with somebody else. Then I try to get that relationship worked out through lots of therapy, then I find out I got some kind of a disease. As soon as one problem is solved, it looks like another one comes. Are we on the same page, people that had the earthly experience? Okay, we all have the problem parade. Right? Da 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 da. We all got our problems. Now, one of the reasons why many people hold on to their problem is their problem has become their identity. They have dealt with it so long and so much that their life without their problem, they wouldn't even know how to deal with it because their whole life has been built around that issue or that pattern or that problem. My life has been around my fear of you and not trusting, then the minute that somebody says, take my fear away or take my distrust away by telling me to trust, then I become afraid. I know how to not trust. Mm-hmm. Trusting is a whole other ball game. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So, the Course says, a long series of problems seem to confront you, and as one problem is settled, the next one and the next one arise. There seems to be no into them. There is no time in which you feel completely free of problems and at peace. Right? It's always one little thing. I had the best day I could have ever had, but there was this one little thing that if it had just been a little different, I would have had the perfect day. There is no time in which you feel completely free of problems and at peace. Now, when I first got into New Thought, what I did was I became a believer of positive thinking. And I believed if I was just positive all the time and I never admitted any kind of dark, fearful thoughts or emotions, then I would be happy because if I said anything other than the most positive thing I could possibly say, I was going to create it. So then I commenced to totally repressing every honest feeling and emotion that I had. I was always, I loved everybody. Everything was great. And if something horrible happened, I would say, well, it was just, you know, it was my own best interest. It was good. It was all in divine order. That was my thing. It was in divine order. Okay.
It's not?
It's not really about whether it's in divine order so much as are you being honest with yourself about what you feel about what happened. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know, it's all in divine order. Hey, it's all love. It's all free. It's all eternal. It's all abundant. But we don't always live that way. So there's a difference between the truth and my acceptance of it, the truth and my reaction to it, the truth and how I'm feeling right now. So I took the whole positive thinking thing to start to go into deep denial about my fear, my anger, my depression, or whatever, because I was always fine. Mm-hmm. Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and everlastingly crazy. Fine. F-I-N-E. So the course goes deeper than that. The course goes beneath what you tell yourself to the actual ideas you have about yourself that are creating the perception, that's creating the perception that you have. And then you are not any of that. Who you really are is not any of your problems, any of your perceptions of your problems, or even the you think that's going through the problem. But that's a whole other story. We're going to start with number one, I don't know what the problem is. Number two, we all have the same problem. Number three, the answer doesn't seem relevant to me because I think the problem is something else. And I need to tell myself that. The answer isn't relevant to me. I don't recognize the solution to this issue right now because I think the problem is something else. So there will surely come a stage where you go beyond positive thinking, which is an important stage, and I'm not saying be a negative person, I'm saying be an honest, authentic person. That's not negative. Because your experience will always show you what you're lying to yourself about. It will come right up to your face and show you what you really believe in. In some cases, you could have things that are better than you could ever imagine show up because there's a part of you that's so much more loving than you could imagine. Mm-hmm. And you could have parts of yourself show up that you don't particularly like, that you're in denial about having. But if you'll go ahead and admit it, then there's no need for you to have to be shown that you're feeling those feelings. So if I say, I don't like the way I feel right now, and I feel really angry right now, and I hope I'm wrong about whatever's making me angry right now, and I want another way to look at my anger right now, I admit it to my anger, and I also went for the higher thought. So there's no need for the universe to show me that I'm afraid. I admitted I was afraid, and I admitted I didn't want to stay afraid, and I admitted I wanted another way to look at it. That's different from saying, oh yes, I really love this person, but I'm seething with subconscious resentment about what I think they're doing. You see what I'm saying? That's, how could you say I don't like what I feel if you're not willing to admit that you have feelings you don't like? So watch the positive thinking thing. It's great if it's used consciously in my perception. Because so much of what's out there in the self-help thing right now is about telling yourself things constantly that you don't believe. And if you say something that you don't believe long enough, you'll believe it. And that is true. But the other side of it is, what are your honest, authentic feelings about your experience right now? You don't have to tell me, just don't lie to yourself. If you're going to play the game, at least don't play the game with yourself. So I got to the point I wouldn't even admit what I felt to me. And that's when I knew I was getting in trouble. It was the one thing for me to tell you I felt great when I didn't. But when I started telling myself I felt great when I didn't, I was going into deep trouble. Because I started to deceive myself about my feelings. And the more, so I went through a period where somebody listening to me from the outside would have thought I was the most negative person that they had ever met in their life, because I was telling myself the truth about all my feelings, no matter how unnice and loving they were. And I saw the strangest thing begin to happen in my physical reality. My physical reality became more peaceful the more negative I was. I'm saying negative, not because I'm negative, but that's because it would have been perceived as negative. In other words, the more honest I was that my problem was separation, then the less my universe had to show me anything but love. Wow. Because I wasn't lying to myself, so that love could come to me and help me and soothe me. Because if I was the one that was creating my own pain by not being honest with myself and practicing the truth, then that meant you weren't doing anything to me, and it also meant God wasn't doing anything to me either. So that meant that I could be supported by you because you weren't the enemy, and I could also turn to my Creator because my Creator wasn't punishing me. if I'm a nice person that everybody else is doing something to, then how can I go to you? I don't trust you. You're the ones that's hurting me, or either I've done something really awful and the universe and the creator is punishing me or trying to teach me a lesson. That's a good way to put it. Teach me a lesson. You only look at it as a lesson after you've decided to kick your own butt.
That's true.
That's when you should rightfully look at it as, this is a lesson. All this pain and suffering I'm going through, it's a lesson that God would have me learn. That's absolutely true. The correct way to look at it. If you're going through anything right now that's bringing you any kind of unhappiness, though, this is a lesson that God would have me learn. And then you're supposed to follow it up with, and I will forgive, and this will disappear. Because the problem is a grievance. A grievance is behind every single problem, our parade that we have. It's a grievance behind any kind of problem you think you have, according to the Course. That's what it says. It's all the same. Yours is taking your flavor. My grievance is taking my particular flavor, but it's still the same thing. A sense of separation, projection, and blame. Now, if you think it really is because somebody else is just doing it to you, but you're really nice, then when I say this, it will have no relevance for you. Okay, so what I just said will have no relevance for you if you think the problem is something else besides separation and a grievance. That's what's so cool about this, because it gives everybody a chance to have their own experience of what I'm saying. So, there is no time in which you feel completely free of problems and at peace. The temptation to regard problems as many is the temptation to keep the problem of separation unsolved. So, if I want to see it as if I have many problems, then that's my way of knowing I want to keep the problem unsolved. I want to keep the problem unsolved so much that I make up a lot of them. How do I know I want to have problems? Because I make up a lot of them. I see a problem with my child, and a problem with my boss, and a problem with my spirituality, and a problem with my health, and a problem with my weight. He said, well, the temptation to see problems as many is the temptation to keep the problem of separation unsolved. So how can I tell if I want to keep it unsolved? Because I keep coming up with something else to keep me upset about. Which means what? I just want to be upset. Why would I want to be upset? Because that's the best way in the world for you to give yourself the kind of punishment you think you deserve for being such a crappy person. What you mean? I'm not a crappy person. I am the Holy Child of God. I know I'm just a loving person. Do you see yourself as having many problems? Yes. Well, you both won't have many problems. No, I don't. Well, if you really didn't, you'd admit, number one, you don't know what the problem is. Because if you did, the problem would be solved. You'd admit that maybe you don't know what the real situation is. You see what I'm saying? It's like it's so easy with the Course to tell where you're coming from with yourself. Okay, isn't this fun?
Yeah. It's fun.
It's lighthearted fair.
Thank you, girl. Thank you.
Look, I see where I am. I'm not pretending that I'm not in a world where it looks like there's war and famine and attack and murder and disease and nice people and nice sunsets and nice trips. And nice, you know, it's like, yeah, I see it all. I don't know about you, I see it all. I see people that, when I see them, I feel peace and joy. And there are people, when I see them, I feel separation and fear. I'm in a world where sometimes I feel really, really good, and sometimes I have a cold. I'm in a world where anything seems like it could happen to anybody at any time, and I don't think it's higher consciousness to pretend that it's not in my perception. That's just like standing in the middle of a railroad track, putting your hands over your eyes, pretending that the train not coming because you don't see it. I think I'd have a much better chance of surviving the train if I saw it and stepped off the track. You don't know how many relationships that would have been so wonderful if I had saw the train. But I was too busy looking at the caboose. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know you look at some cabooses. Don't be looking at me like I'm saying something strange. You know, people get in church, they get so holy. I want to do a course class in a whorehouse. Now, you know why? Because they be regular. They be regular folk. They wouldn't be trying to be spiritual. They wouldn't be trying to be holy because they think they're in a room called a church. They wouldn't pretend like they didn't get angry sometimes or sad sometimes. They wouldn't pretend like they didn't get horny sometimes. They wouldn't be trying to be spiritual. They just be down to earth. Because the minute you become down to earth, that's really the same as becoming in the now. Telling the truth about who you are now, creating instant awareness of oneness, instant safety, because as soon as everybody realizes they're just alike, they relax around each other. Put my representative over in the corner and let the real me come out. What I mean by the real me, in the sense of what I perceive myself as being in the moment. That happens here more than most places that I go to that do any kind of spiritual class. Most of them are just people talking very nice and saying very nice things. And then leaving out the door wanting to commit suicide. But very spiritual. Very spiritual. I'd love it if somebody walked in the door and went, I'm mad as hell! I can live long! That's why I'm coming here tonight, to keep me from going to jail. And then to be in an environment that they could say that, and then everybody would basically go, thank you for sharing. Thank you. Not try to fix them. Not try to fix them at all. Not tell them they shouldn't have said it, or they couldn't believe that they said it, or freaked out because they said it. They would just go, thank you. Anything else you need to say? Just get it out. You're in a safe place to get it out. You're safe now. I know how you're feeling, and I know what's going on. I hear what you're saying, but you know what? You are safe now. Mm-hmm. That's what the Course says. You tell a person they're safe now if you say anything. You don't try to fix it. It's not your job. You're not God in that sense. You didn't create them. You don't know what their soul and spiritual lesson is. You don't know what the divine plan for their life is. That might have been the best thing that could have happened to them. You don't know. All I do know is that I want you to have peace, and I want peace to extend from my mind to yours. I know that. But I don't know what's best for you. Hell, I don't know what's best for me. Exactly. Trying to know what's best for you is just a way for me to take the focus off of how much I don't know about me. Mm-hmm. That's why caretakers always hook up with somebody that always needs them to take care of them all the time. Mm-hmm. So they can feel important and valuable. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people out there that let you do that. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. If you want a caretaker, some people wait in line. Tell them just get a number. There are people out there waiting for somebody to take care of me. Help me with my dysfunctions. Mm-hmm. Please. Mm-hmm. And in return, they'll give you specialists temporarily. Mm-hmm. And maybe, depending on the situation, you might even get the body. Mm-hmm. And for many people, that's a good enough deal. If you worship me like a god and tie me up every night, I'll be right here for you. Okay. And I know it's going to be temporary because somebody who doesn't love themselves certainly could not love me. So I don't have to worry about is it going to last. I know it's not going to last unless we wake up. So I'm not even getting in with false expectations. Oh, you're so insecure that you need me to fix you, I know you're going to turn on me one day if you don't recognize your strength. I know it's just a matter of time before you abandon me, so I'm going into this relationship wide open. One of the relationships that's the coolest I've ever had, that's lasted the longest in my life. One of the things we used to say to each other almost every other day. Well, we do something wonderful, but you know I don't love you, right? Because I don't even really know what love is. That's what we say to each other. Don't fool yourself now. I really don't know what love is. And people said, that don't sound very romantic. Relationship lasted 30 years. Still lasting. So it's connected. You see what I'm saying? It's some honesty. Because by her saying that to me, I didn't have unrealistic expectations of her never making an error, never making a mistake. So even if she did, it was easy for me to forgive it because I know that I'm just like that too. And I don't always act perfectly all the time. But that old idealistic crap where you tell somebody you're going to always love them all the time and be there for them and never get upset with them and whatever they do is going to be all right. You're the biggest liar that landed in this house. You know doggone well that if that person does not act out your script, you're going to abandon their butt. If they cross the line too many times, you know you're going to attack. You know that. And they should be aware of that, because if I don't realize I'm the Holy Son of God, if I don't realize I am love, if I don't know my spiritual identity, if I don't know my oneness with you, if I don't know I'm safe, protected, and strong, then I'm going to attack from time to time. Between movies. And that's what we do, though. Go to the park, fight that evening. Right? Wake up the next morning, say we okay, then go to the movie, have another fight. You know, I don't mean fight. You know what I'm talking about. Right? So, the problem is separation. If I knew I was one with you and you and I were the same, there wouldn't be anything for me to attack you about, because there's nothing in you that's not in me, so why don't we both heal together? Separation is the problem. Let's see what else. This is good. Before I do that, though, let me take a couple of minutes. Any questions, any comments, anything you're just dying to say or to ask?
Don't you think we need to breathe?
Yes, breathe, everyone. Everyone breathe, because the human sweat, they cannot hold their breath over 3 or 4 minutes, but I've seen people do it in the course class for an hour. I've seen people go, anybody? Any thoughts? Any comments? Any ahas? Anything? Okay, great.
When somebody is, creating or thinking they're expressing their form of feeling,
mm-hmm.
they want an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't respond because I haven't heard any feelings, all I've heard is attack, although me responding back is only going to create more attack.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do?
One good thing about behavior is this. There is the truth works at an attitudinal awareness level, okay, which simply means that your job is to want peace in that situation. Your job is as much as possible to act and not react. Your job as much as possible is to check in with yourself and ask what you should do in this moment. And then anything that you are meant to do in that moment will be the right thing for you to do for you in that moment. You see what I'm saying? What's important is for you to be clear about what your purpose is in that moment. And your purpose when they're going off is for you to have peace. And you say that to yourself. You know, I really want to have peace. I don't like the way I feel right now. I want another way to look at this. I want peace. And I promise you, if you were to take a second to act and not react and to ask yourself what would be the right way to deal with this, you would hear or feel an answer that would come to you that would be the best thing for you to do in that situation. That might be walk off. It might be something you actually say. I can't tell you the behavior that's going to come out, but I can promise you this. If you take that second to just check in, that's all you would need to kind of get some kind of focus from spirit about the best way to approach this. If I'm in a situation like that, and I've been in situations like that, and I see that the person is completely insane, which simply means they're beyond reason. When a person is beyond reason, the best thing you can do is create a space, if possible, where they can communicate whatever it is they feel like they need to communicate, feeling like you're present with them at that time, and you don't really say anything because they have a sanity in them. Because I don't think you'd attract anybody that would be just completely insane, completely down to because of who you are. But there is a sanity in them behind their insanity that they themselves will get to if they could get a chance to just get off their chest what they feel like they need to get off without being interrupted. It's the interruption that prolongs the attack. It's you saying something back that's actually prolonging the attack. You know, it's like you, even if you're trying to say something, whatever you do, don't say, "You created that." Do not tell a person who's insane that they are creating what's happening to them. That's the best way in the world to get a skillet upside your head. I'm telling you, I'm bringing it down to the real level in here. I'm telling you now, if somebody's insane and you go, "Well, why did you create that for yourself?" They just want to strangle you. That's the only thing that goes to their mind. That's not compassionate. That is an attack. Like if I'm saying I'm going through something, and then somebody says back to me, "Well, why do you think you created that for yourself, Earl?" And I be want to say, "Why do you think I created hitting you upside the head with my phone?" What I feel like. So there's nothing compassionate about a statement like that. Nothing at all. That's just a way of a person getting you. That's all it is. There's no love behind a statement like that. At all. So next time you think you're being loving when you say that to somebody, that's your ego trying to get you attacked. You go something like, "I hear you." Like, oh, I said stuff like, "Well, I know you really want to have peace in this situation and happiness in this situation. You know, that's what I want for you too." Not, "Why did you create that for yourself?" These are just little 28-year tips from teaching this stuff. I know the ego tricks so well. That's how I can save people time. Silence is the most powerful thing you can possibly use to diffuse any ego situation and also separating to heal. There's a positive use of separation, just like there's a negative use of separation. The positive use of separation is getting yourself away from the misery and attack. That's positive. I recognize the misery, and I'm going the other way. Okay? So if you're in a conscious relationship and you know you're going insane and you can feel it when you're going insane, if you really love that person, you will get away from them until you cool down. You would not stay there and say, "Let's talk about it." You would say, "Let me go and get some centeredness here because I'm losing my mind. And when it returns, I will return." That's what a loving person says. An insane person says, "Don't you go out that door. You always run every time I want to talk. I want to kill you. You want me to leave now because I'm going crazy." The insane person who wants a tag goes, "That's where you go. That's what you do all the time. You won't talk things out. Hey." Do you need to go? Yes. Please. And when you're ready to talk, I'll be ready to talk. Amazing how that'll work. And if you're with somebody who continually attacks you all the time, it's your issue. Anyway, what are you doing there? You know they don't have a problem.
Yeah.
You got the problem too. It's both of you got a problem. You attack me all the time, and I stay here. And you're the one that's crazy? No, we're both crazy, dear. Let's work this out. Because evidently I'm so crazy I want to stay. And you're so crazy you're attacking me. So we're both crazy. The same crazy. Both of us like to attack. And both of us like attack. Mm-hmm. You like to attack. I love to be attacked. So at the core, we both are into attack. And while you're at it, give me a little spanking. I'm going to take full responsibility for how much I like to be attacked. I'm just going to ask you to spank me. That's too much sense, isn't it? That's too real. You don't get that real, do you? That's real. That's real. Separate to heal. Separate to get sanity. Separate to get another perspective. It's not about the body separating doesn't mean you are separate. It's about why is the body separating. The bodies are separating. Why? Because the ego lives in the body. Not the Holy Son of God. Not the Holy Child. The ego lives in the body. The fearful separate mind lives in the body. The body, therefore, can become a means to remove the ego for a while, since the ego is in the body. The ego is in your body. And it's your ego that looks out through the body and sees separate things. So, do you all see separate things?
Yeah.
Okay, then you are looking through the eyes of your ego. And what we're learning how to do is to allow the eyes of our sane mind, our loving mind, our God mind, our spirit mind to finally start to use our body to look through. So we can see some love out there. We're changing lenses. But while you're changing, you're going to look through the right mind sometime, look through the wrong mind sometime. Look through the loving mind, look through the fearful mind. Look through the loving mind, look through the loving mind, look through the loving mind, look through the fearful mind. Look through the fearful mind, look through the fearful mind, look through the fearful mind. Look through the loving mind, look through the loving mind. Look through the loving mind, look through the loving mind, look through the loving. Look through the angry mind, look through the angry mind, look through the angry mind. Look through the lack mind, see the lack, see the lack, see the lack. Look through the abundant mind, see the abundance, see the abundance, see the abundance. And more and more and more you start to use your Holy Spirit eyes until most of the time you're seeing the loving stuff and the fearful stuff just seems to come sporadically and more unexpected than ever before because now it's not as consistent as it used to be because you're not as consistently fearful and angry and separate as you used to be. But when you do make the switch into your fearful mind, it feels just as crappy as it ever did. Even though you might not be doing it as much, when you do, give yourself a break. That's the way it feels when you're looking through your ego. You just won't be doing it as much. Less and less and less and less.
Or stay as long.
Which is the same thing. Which is you won't do it. And you can count on it. Especially since we have each other. Because since we have each other, the ego can never hide when there's two or more gathered together. There's no way your ego can win if you join. And that's what we do. We join for the truth. We join for another way to look at things. You know, that's how I know we love ourselves more than we hate ourselves. And that's the truth about you. So I'm going to stop right here. So would you acknowledge yourself, please, for hearing this message? So before we leave, I'm going to give a couple of quick pointers to take out into the lab. And there's do the love offering. Thank you so much for sharing with me with my full-time ministry with the course. Thank you. March 29th, I'm doing an advanced mind training. We're from 10 to 3. We get a chance to go more in depth. Could you imagine how if we had more time, how we can work this and apply this. That's what the AMT is about. It's about giving ourselves the opportunity to do more in-depth study and then apply it to situations in our life. And there's more time for discussion, how to apply it to different situations. It's a limited enrollment. It's from 10 to 3, so you leave early enough to have most of the day before you, and you also don't have to jump up first thing in the morning. It's $50. It's a financial investment. If you want to do it, then sign up over here with this notebook, and if you go ahead and pay in advance, it guarantees you a spot in it. I'm looking forward to it. I need some hardcore, not on the clock sharing. There's a lot of stuff that's coming through that wants to be shared that I look forward to being able to have time enough to do that. So I'm looking forward to this, to the workshop on the 29th, the last Saturday of this month. The next Course in Miracles class is be a person that's going for the highest thought. I'm not saying be negative. I'm not saying there's not anything. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being a positive person. I'm just saying be honest with yourself. That's what I'm saying. Be honest with yourself. So, the temptation to regard problems as many is the temptation to keep the problem unsolved. The world seems to present you with a vast number of problems, each problem requiring a different answer. Believing that you have many problems that you need many different answers to, this perception places you in a position in which your problem solving must be inadequate. And it's inevitable that you fail if you have the perception that you have a lot of different problems that need a lot of different answers. You put yourself in a situation where you are going to fail to solve the problems. Nobody can solve all the problems the world seems to hold. The problems seem to be on so many levels, in so many forms, with such varied content that they confront you with an impossible situation. Dismay and depression are inevitable as you regard all these many different problems everywhere that we've got to try to come up with an answer to. Some of your problems spring up unexpectedly, just as you think you have resolved the previous problems. Other problems remain unsolved under a cloud of denial. Okay? I'm in such denial that the problem can't be solved. And some of your problems rise to haunt you from time to time, only to be hidden again but not resolved. You know what I'm saying? Those problems that come up from time to time, then they go away, then they come up again, then they go away. He says, now this is a trip. The Course says, all this complexity is but a desperate attempt not to recognize the problem. Complexity is a desperate attempt not to recognize the problem. If you could recognize that your only problem is you feel separate, no matter what form the problem takes, you could accept the answer because you could see its relevance. So, before we go out, would you just close your eyes for just a second, please, so we can take this out into the day. First, I'd like you to ask your higher self, say, what is the problem and what is the answer? I am not going to assume that I already know. I am not going to assume that I already know what the problem is and what the answer is. I'm not going to assume that I already know what the problem is and what the answer is. I am willing to free my mind. I am willing to free my mind of all the many different kinds of problems I think I have. I am willing to free my mind of all the many different problems that I think I have. I am willing to now say, whether I believe it or not, I am willing to realize I have only one problem that I have failed to recognize. I only have one problem. This is going to be deep for you to say this to yourself. I only have one problem. 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 Together, we only have one problem that we have failed to recognize. We only have one problem that we have failed to recognize. Let me recognize this problem so it can be solved. Let me recognize this problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. So the next time you go through anything this week that's upsetting you to this weekend, if you can take a moment, tell yourself, let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Almost like a mantra. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Who would want to say that with me? Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Let me recognize the problem so the problem can be solved. Get a chance, go over this lesson, and you will see miracles. If you would just be willing to entertain the idea that your idea about what your problem is not what the problem really is. That's the tiny opening that the Holy Spirit needs. All right. I appreciate you all. May the course be with you. I appreciate y'all. See you next time, Holy Spirit. And give somebody what you'd like to receive.